This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and he joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk a little growth and development, local politics, and of course, pie. We are indeed the pie guys right here, putting pie on the map on WINA in Central Virginia and having a good time doing it. But before we go anywhere else, did you see Dave Matthews Band last night on Hulu?
I didn't. I got your email late, and I didn't go searching. I've never been on Hulu.
What?
I've only heard you talk about Hulu.
Brian!
You're the only Hulu user I know, Coy.
You're kidding. It's very popular. I think Disney just signed up.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's like if you want to watch free television and free movies online, that's where you go.
Yeah, but see, I've got satellite.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
So
now,
granted, on satellite.
Fancy boy.
on satellite, I would not have had the benefit of watching Dave Matthews.
No, he wasn't on satellite. He was only on Hulu. And I will say this. Number one, it brought back a lot of great memories back in the day, early 90s.
Yep.
Watching Dave Matthews, the local band.
Don't tell anybody, but I've never seen Dave Matthews in concert.
Really? Never seen him live?
Never, ever.
Which leads me to my second point. An amazing concert. I haven't seen him since like summer of 92 when they were nobody, when they were just playing in Charlottesville. But wow. I mean, they are so much better than they were in 92. They're just so talented, these guys.
Oh, I love their music.
They're just incredible musicians.
Yep. So, I've just never had a chance to go see him.
I emailed Hawes and said, you watching Dave Matthews Band? And he said, no, I'm Coldplay. It's all about Coldplay. He's just into Coldplay now because he went to a Coldplay concert.
Gotcha.
So he can only do one rock group at a time. And, of course, Ole Miss won last night. They'll have full details for you tonight on Best Seat in the House. The UVA baseball team will be playing Ole Miss on Friday in the NCAA tournament, the College Baseball Sweet 16, at 2 o'clock. So we'll be stepping aside to make way for that game on Friday. They'll be playing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Three huge games. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? UVA baseball, the best team in college.
First time in the Sweet 16.
This is the best UVA baseball team in UVA history. They've never had a team go this far in the NCAA tournament. Very impressive.
Great.
And Jay was telling me that they're all pretty young.
Why did they call it the Super Regional? Why don't they just call it the Sweet 16?
Well, that's because they don't pay attention to me.
Did you tell them they should do that?
I've only referred to it as that. And Leon and Mike and Jay, they sort of look at me and they're like, well, it's Super Regional. I'm like, but it's the Sweet 16. Yeah, well, yeah, if you want to use basketball terminology. But Super Regional doesn't make any sense. It's 16 teams.
Well, they could call it, we'll compromise, Coy. They can call it the Super 16.
The Super 16. But there's only 16 teams left, and they're going to play in Oxford, Mississippi, the former home of who?
John Grisham.
John Grisham. Ooh, way to go, Brian Wheeler.
Well, he's a...
And before him?
Renee Grisham.
Mr. Faulkner.
Oh.
Indeed, yeah.
Well, I knew that Mr. Grisham was a state delegate.
He was. He was active in state politics, a member of the Mississippi State House. Indeed. And there's some whisperings and some rumors that he might run in Virginia one day, which would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? I don't think he's going to run as a conservative Republican, though.
Well, as most people know, the Grisham family has been a strong supporter of Charlottesville Tomorrow. So
yep.
I only have good things to say about the Grishams.
They're on your board. Absolutely. Charlottesville Tomorrow, of course, is online at cvilletomorrow.org. Should we begin with pie, as we are want to be the pie guys?
I think we should, because there's some pie news, and the pie news has been breaking so fast that I totally missed an event about pie
in
our community.
It's twittering out all over.
So Twitter has, and Twitter, for those of you that don't know, is this way you can communicate in short little bursts.
Did you say annoying?
104. I said a way you can communicate in short 140 character little burst of what's going on. Now, a lot of people.
I'm standing in line at the bank.
A lot of it is that kind of stuff,
yeah.
Which does not interest me.
But
I am using it. I'm to the point now where I have to have a screen on my desk. Granted, I'm in the news business, so I have to watch this.
Yeah.
So I have a new screen now. I have one screen for blogs. I have a new screen for tweets and Twitters.
because when you Twitter, you create a tweet.
Right.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm having to watch all these.
I feel like an old man around
the Twitter.
But
here's the funny thing, Coy. So we started.
Get your Twitter off my lawn.
I don't know. Sean Tubbs at our office got us Twittering a couple months ago, I'll say. Recently. I mean, we talked about it. We jumped in and did Facebook and Twitter at the same time.
Right.
And sort of overwhelmed my senses on social networking.
Yeah, yeah.
But I, you know, I'm trying to be a lifelong learner, learn new things.
And you reconnected with a lot of people you haven't talked to in years through Facebook.
So engaging.
That is amazing how that happens, though, isn't it?
And Charlottesville Tomorrow is trying to use it to engage people to talk about the community. So it's a good thing. But, it's not like there's a training class you go through before you start Twittering. So I learned that people were responding to our tweets, and I wasn't seeing them.
Really?
So I was getting...
You were tweetless.
People were tweeting me and saying, Brian, there's this pie event coming up. You should know about it.
And you totally missed all the tweets.
I didn't even see it.
It was just tweeting right over your head.
Now, I got an old-fashioned email telling me it was going to happen, but I was heading out of town that weekend, so I didn't really pay much attention to it. But it was a big deal because it was the... It all came together between two people talking about this via Twitter, and the question was, who makes the best pie in Charlottesville?
Uh-huh.
And two people responded saying they made the best pie.
Interesting.
In Charlottesville. And they decided to have a pie down.
Like a throwdown.
A Seville pie down is what they called it. And it was totally organized on Twitter. It came together at the Mud House. Mayor Norris was the official bean counter at this thing. They had a panel of judges. And, you know, in the span of a couple of weeks, this thing happened and was over. And now you can go to SevillePieDown.com. And look at
there's a website.
There's a website, and you can watch the video. And
I love it.
Yeah, it's perfect for us.
I'm sort of bummed that the pie guys missed it.
I know. That's what shocked me too.
Yeah.
So then I was horrified when I found these tweets telling me I should have been there, and it was from the organizers.
Where were the tweets?
Well, they were in that part of Twitter that I didn't know about.
Oh, I didn't know there was this room.
And so now I'm onto this. And so I immediately started responding last week, and I said, oh, I'm so sorry I missed it. I was out of town. It sounds great. And they wrote back and said, well, you should be a judge at the next one because we're doing it in Crozet.
Well, there's another one.
And they're calling it the Seville Pie Fest.
Ah.
At the Crozet Mud House, which will be open by then in September on a date to be announced.
And more people know about it, so you have more entries. And it's an official pie contest.
But it's being organized, again, over Twitter. I was named as the first judge.
Yep.
I'll certainly nominate you, Corey.
I'll be a judge.
To be a second judge. We have an official pie caster. That's a pie caster is if you podcast a pie fest. So Charlottesville Tomorrow will pie cast this event. There's an official musician apparently already. We have an official photographer. This is all coming together on Twitter. I don't know what it means, but
God bless Charlottesville.
We need to be in training immediately, Coy.
All right, here's what we do.
To get ready for this.
Here's what we do. When is this?
Date to be determined in September.
Okay. Well, if we can pick a date, spread the word among the Twitterers, the pie Twitterers, the pie twits, that if we can pick a date that's like a Monday through a Friday, pick a Tuesday, and we will do a live remote broadcast from this event. Charlottesville Right Now will be the official radio sponsor of this big Seville Pie Fest
in
September. Do it on a Tuesday in September, and we will bring our radio studio to the event and broadcast it live on the air.
Okay, I hope people out there in the Twitter sphere are documenting this.
We'll do it. We will do it.
So your name will be on that, Coy. You'll be the official radio sponsor.
Yeah.
And at the Pie Down, which was the end of May, Brian Geiger was declared the winner. And
way to go, Brian. What did he make?
You know, I don't even know. But the recipes are online, SevillePieDown.com. You can figure out the recipes. And, of course, I was, you know, reflecting back on what Charlottesville Tomorrow did and brought to your show last August when we had Pie Day.
Yeah.
And our question was a little different. Our question was who sells the best pie?
Right. The best homemade pie.
At a commercial establishment.
Right. In the Central Virginia area.
And I like their wording in the question because that opens it up to everybody. Who makes the best pie?
Right.
So it's a different
angle. So you don't have to have a store.
It's a different angle on
the
pie
store. You can have a kitchen.
Right. But that got me thinking, Coy, that we should, you know, you and I have always talked about taking a bus around looking for pie.
Yeah.
To expand the, you know, number of tasters that we have so we can get a better, you know, scoring system in place.
Right.
And I think if we took the bus around, we could market it as if you want to compete at, you know, Seville Pie Fest in Crozet in
September.
come on the bus in August and get ready.
As a prep.
Yeah, get exposed to all the best
like
pies.
Like a farm team tour.
Right.
I love it.
So that's my next
idea. So there will be a pie tour, a pie day in this summer. And you're getting a bus, and people can sign up, and we can go around.
Sounds like you're committing me to this. All
we can drive around Central Virginia and go to different little stores and try pastries.
I think that might be a good idea.
I love it. And then in September, we'll have a live radio broadcast of the official Seville Pie Fest in Crozet.
Now, remember, we can't speak officially for this group, but...
Well, there is no group.
You're throwing the idea out there.
People on Twitter.
I just want to say I like it. And maybe the people that make this happen will...
Well, they need to tweet you.
Will like this too.
They need to send you a tweet and confirm. How's that sound?
Hopefully I will find their tweet and well, I'll be able to confirm.
Now that you know where to go to find the tweets? Oh my gosh. As long as
I can find good pie, I'll
There's
be
a
happy.
Cartoon in The New Yorker of a guy before a firing squad. Instead of a last cigarette, he gets a last tweet.
I can see that.
Oh, my goodness. All right. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SevilleTomorrow.org. And what are we talking about first?
Well, I want to point out a couple downtown mall items.
Yes.
Not the bricks. We've talked about the bricks.
They're done, right?
Bricks are pretty much done. Looking great.
Yep.
Hanging in the trees now, we have some awesome photographs. So the
must be Festival of the Photograph.
Festival of the Photograph has arrived. There are these brilliant animal prints up in the trees. So I would just encourage everyone to go take a look at them.
Yeah. Look3.org is the website.
Look3.org. The big event is next weekend, I guess, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday or something.
Yeah. Some of the best photographers in the world coming to Charlottesville.
But the fun thing, Coy, is walking up and down the mall the past couple of days is watching the children look up in the trees at these big pictures.
Yeah.
And the conversations they're having with their parents and babysitters about what's up in the trees. It's so much fun.
God bless the children. They're the future.
That's good.
Children are the future, Brian.
They are the future. And then the other thing that's working great on the downtown mall right now is the new city-provided wireless internet.
I didn't know that was up and running yet.
That was part of the mall upgrade.
I thought Maurice Jones said it's going to be a little while.
I was on it today.
You're kidding.
I was sitting at Bashir's having lunch.
They could go through.
Gary O'Connell, the city manager, walks up to me. Brian, how's that wireless internet? And I said, well, I haven't tried it. And he said, well, try it right now. And I tried it and it worked.
What's it called?
I don't know. My laptop just found it and got me on.
Wow. And you don't need a password or anything?
I didn't need anything.
It's not like a hotel where you got to charge it to your card like $10 a day.
On the website, it said, click this button to use Charlottesville's internet. And I did.
Wow.
But I didn't.
It was a good connection?
Yeah.
Or was it like dial-up?
It said good.
That's
my
amazing.
Laptop said it was good.
I had no idea that was up and running.
So that's up and running.
You know, one of the best places to live in America, Brian. Have you heard that?
It's on many lists.
It's right up there towards the top. Way to go, Charlotte.
So we will be able to tweet about pie on the mall now wirelessly.
While you're eating Bashir's.
Right.
Or any of the other yummy, delicious places to eat on the downtown mall. That's really something. Wow. Wireless access on a brand new downtown mall. Right. What more do you need besides pie? Free pie. It's good stuff.
That's good. So in the next half hour, let me just preview a couple things we're going to talk about.
Yes, because we're going to break for local news.
We're going to talk about... I feel sort of naked right now because I don't have my box. I always show up.
Well, I can confirm for listeners that you are not indeed naked.
With my box of goodies, and I left it at the office, so I'm working off my laptop here, so bear with me. But I want to talk about the Belmont restaurant rezoning. That discussion took place with City Council. There's a new branding idea, a new logo for Charlottesville Transit.
Is that the picture I'm looking at right now?
That's the picture you're looking at. Catch the cat.
It's like a big leopard or something.
And we'll talk about things like that.
Good deal. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and you're listening to Charlottesville Right Now on News Radio 1070 WINA. I'm Coy Barefoot. Coming up in local news, we'll give you all the details about what's going on East Rio Road. Closed down because of a power line that went down and lots of traffic on the 250 bypass as a result. We'll also have a full weather report for you coming up. Stay tuned. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SevilleTomorrow.org. He joins us live in studio on Tuesday afternoons to talk a little growth and development. And speaking of growth and development, Should we talk about water or should we talk about Belmont?
Let's start with water.
Okay, he said reluctantly.
I gave you the choice, and you didn't pick.
I didn't pick.
And since I have my laptop and I've got that one ready.
And I will say okay with reluctance, okay. But go ahead.
All right. So today, you know, last week on the show, I said we're waiting on two things right now. We being the community. The community is waiting on this dredging RFP, request for proposals, to be put out.
So dredging companies can bid the job.
Yep, looking at the South Fork Ravanna Reservoir, what's in the bottom of the reservoir, where can we put it, how can we get it out, how much water does it get us, all those things. City Council on Monday decided to add a couple of their own handpicked people onto the committee to pick among the companies that apply. Does that make sense?
It does.
So the selection committee, City Council added a couple of people. That's fine. That's not the news today, although it is news.
Yes.
The news is the other thing the community was waiting for, which is the technical review panel report on the Ragged Mountain Dam design. As you know, Ragged Mountain Dam is one
of... Is there an acronym for that?
Yes, there is.
Should there be?
IT, Independent Technical Review Team, or the ITRT.
Which is the...
which is not competing in the Super Regional, by the way.
It's not one of the Sweet 16.
Sorry, I had to say it.
It's the ITRET.
Yes. So that group was convened to study the Ragged Mountain Dam design. This is the proposal for a new dam at Ragged Mountain.
Right.
And this part of the community water supply.
This review was brought in when they started noticing that the price tag on the new dam was going through the roof and was more like $100 million than $30
million. Right. And it wasn't just the price tag, but the engineering. Gannett Fleming came in and said, you know, we did some preliminary engineering. The rock substructure looks like we're going to need to build a bigger dam with wings off the side of it to, you know, make it a bigger structure that would hold on to this rock.
Yeah.
And keep the water back. So that was what led to that cost estimate going way high.
Yeah.
Shocking people. RWSA, to their credit, the Ravanna Water and Sewer Authority, got a second opinion like you would, you know, for some medical problem, right?
Anytime
if somebody says something really scary,
your bill is going to go up by $70 million.
You're like, I'm going to ask somebody else. So nobody in the community had to tell Ravanna Water and Sewer Authority to do that. They just went ahead and did it.
Good job, Tom.
Schnabel Engineering. A local firm.
Yes.
Weighed in with their ideas. And they came up with a much different number, still a number bigger substantially than what the original plan envisioned.
So what's the number now?
Well, let's not talk about the numbers because there are no new numbers in the news today. But
do you want to put them in the news?
To put there aren't any.
Oh, there's no numbers in there. They just say it's going to be a lot more expensive than we thought.
So the technical review team was three dam experts from, you know, recruited from around the country to come in and look at these two plans from Gannett Fleming, Schnabel Engineering, and use their own wisdom about how you build dams.
Okay.
To figure out if they were on the right track.
And
or
they
not.
Said?
They said it could be done much more cheaply than, in the case of Gannett Fleming, than they had suggested, that you could redesign it in such a way that they thought it could be done more cheaply, especially in this market for constructing big things.
We're getting screwed by Gannett Fleming. I'm just going to say that to you, well, just between you and me. Interesting.
Well, let me.
What about Schnabel?
Well, they weren't in the business of pointing fingers and naming names,
right?
Really.
So this independent review team says it could still be done, and it could probably be done for a lot less than what Gannett Fleming's telling you.
For a number of reasons. They said that Gannett Fleming's concern about the rock that they found in their core samples, their borings that they did, one of the things that came up was the rock looks very weathered, fractured, and I'm gonna say it in terms I understand.
Yeah.
They're going to have to put a whole lot more cement down
to
cover up that problematic rock,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, these experts said, you know what? If you prepare the site the right way, we think you can get down to a rock surface that'll really hold, you can really stick a dam on.
Yeah.
So they sort of...
You can give a dam.
They said you could put in a good dam there.
There you go.
Now, I want to jump to the end of this because the bottom line of their report is what's sort of important here. Quote, in broad perspective, the project is neither especially difficult nor large, and the foundation conditions can be managed using appropriate, reliable, well-known methodologies. So, I mean, I think that's good news. These experts came in and said, you know, what you're trying to do is not that difficult. It's not that big a project. And, you know, we've done this before. You guys are going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
They didn't say what they thought the bottom the new cost estimate.
Do it
was
for what?
Be.
Yeah, for how much?
And one of here was
especially
one,
if you continue to work with Gannett Kaching Kaching Fleming.
Well, I'm not going there. But one of the numbers that did jump out at me, Coy, was the number of trucks that would be involved coming up and down the little road going to Ragged Mountain Dam off of Fontaine Avenue.
A gravel road
extended. Right? Yeah, parts of that now are gravel. Of course, they're going to be bringing in a whole lot of concrete, so upgrading that road would be a small...
there's another expense.
...part of this project.
Yeah.
But it was 11,000 trucks, trips, in a year. 11,000. And I calculated how many... Let's just say they just operate during the week. It was like 40 a day.
Holy cow. Do people live back there? There's a school back there, isn't there?
Camp Holiday Trails is back there.
And there's
there are some homes back there.
And there
there's a little daycare, maybe.
There's a little Montessori school back there.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Right on that road. And so, they're going to have all those trucks going by those kids?
That was another thing that the consultants recommended.
Hello, public hearing.
Getting a deep understanding, let's just say, of the traffic impacts of the construction.
Yeah.
And Sally Thomas on the Board of Supervisors has been saying that repeatedly, saying, you know, we may need to create basically another ramp off of I-64 to temporarily, you know, allow easier access directly to the site.
Yeah.
And I think she sort of threw that out as an idea. I don't know that they'll go there. But
who's going to pay for that?
But this idea has been talked about. How do we mitigate the traffic impacts? So, you know, these experts are saying it's not a big project, but for this community, it's a big project.
Yeah, it's still going to be tens of millions. And at the end of the day, yeah.
Okay, now I want to read one other quote for you.
100, 200 million?
Quiz show here. Here's another quote. Listen carefully.
Okay.
Quote, if it is desired to have a dam whose stability is unquestioned under full head of water in the reservoir, then I would urge that the present dam be reconstructed in such a manner that the water will be kept out of the body of the existing dam while using the present masonry for its weight.
Now, what did you just say?
I just said that...
Did you speak English? Because it sounded Armenian.
The engineer who wrote this said, if you want a dam that has unquestionable stability, you better build a new one. You know when that was written?
Oh, that's not part of this review?
This was written in 1913 about the existing Ragged Mountain Dam. Now, the photographs that we have shown on Charlottesville Tomorrow's website from the Holsinger collection are dated 1912. Of the dam under construction.
So an expert came in right after they built that dam and said,
if you want this to be...
If you want it to be a really good one,
really
you better
stable,
do it over.
You better start over.
So they didn't build a good dam.
Right.
So what is there now and exists is not a good dam.
Well, and that leads to some of the concern that the state regulators have had about a conditional permit at Ragged Mountain and some concern that, you know, that it wouldn't be allowed to continue to be used as a dam for the water supply.
Yeah.
That they would force it to be lowered, the water level, because of safety concerns. Now, there's been some work done since this was written to sort of buy some time and you know, take care of some of the issues that were found to be deficient. But this was a memo, Coy, that I last heard talked about on your show when Liz Palmer, she sort of alluded to this memo.
Yes, she gave us the whole history of the water supply in
Central
Virginia.
It intrigued me to go find that memo. UVA has got a link to it in their special collections. And it's quite interesting.
Well, the plans for the new dam, are they for a totally new dam or for adding on to the existing?
For a totally new dam. But Mayor Norris, City Council, has said one of his ideas as an alternative for the water supply would be to add on to the existing dam. One of the things that this engineer said was that there was no evidence in 1913, a year after presumably that they finished it, there was no evidence in the record that the existing dam had been secured to the granite. It had been put on top of the granite, but it may not have been fastened down.
Which means if you put enough water back there, it's just going to push that dam over.
That's what this memo talks about.
Hello, flood.
So anyway, the independent technical review team did not weigh in on the existing dam. They were talking more about how you build a new one. But I think it's important for the public to understand that there is some information about the existing one that needs to be looked at carefully if we decide to look at that.
Yeah.
Did
they just recommend that we just go dredge the South Fork of the Rivanna?
Coy, that's the
you folks better go dredge.
they didn't weigh in on dredging.
Hey, tell us about this Belmont restaurant.
Okay.
Real quick.
So I thought this was interesting.
Because I thought the Planning Commission said no, right?
They did. And the City Council is saying, yes, please. We'd like a restaurant.
Wow. That's really interesting when that happens, because it doesn't always happen.
It doesn't. And so here's what's interesting. So there's this sort of, you know, we have lines on the map in the community between residential and commercial, for example. And in Belmont, there's a little commercial district with lots of restaurants now. And there's some concern in the neighborhood from the residences about the traffic, about the noise, about all the activity going on. And although Holly Edwards pointed out that many of those same people complaining, she's observed were the ones sitting at the restaurants enjoying the amenities that they have there. So anyway, but there's a request in for a rezoning to have a house that is right next to the barbecue place there in Belmont become a new French restaurant. And the Planning Commission, as you said, recommended against it because they didn't think the line should be moved, that the commercial district of Belmont should be expanded.
And that's what this would do.
That's what this
expand
would do.
Expand the commercial district in Belmont.
Yeah, by another house. And Mayor Norris said at City Council this Monday, well, you know, does this mean we're setting a precedent? Does this mean, you know, the dominoes will start falling and other people will think they can get their house rezoned into a restaurant? And staff, you know, answered that question very carefully. They basically said, you know, we look at each of these independently. Each request independently, each request to be rezoning would have to come before council. But clearly they're setting a precedent by adding, you know, moving the line.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Sure. Aren't they?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying they're definitely setting a precedent by moving that line. In Albemarle County, this often comes up out on 250 East when we talk about the boundary between the growth area and the rural area. And a number of plans have come up for commercial activity on Route 250 where the land is zoned rural. And the person comes in and says, I'd really like to, you know, get my business in here. And, you know, just down the street is Pantops. You know, it's already commercialized.
Yeah.
What's the problem? And the County Planning Commission has really stuck to that line and said, you know, we're not moving it.
Not past 64.
It's important to have a boundary.
Right.
The folks in Belmont, it's a little different situation, but I just point that out.
So they're still discovering, finding where that boundary is in Belmont.
Well, and what this applicant is arguing is that they can make the boundary better, of course, with their house.
Of course.
Once their house is a restaurant, they've got some extra land on it. They are proffering to plant a buffer that will help protect, you know, draw the line more clearly.
Yeah, but what happens when the person next door to them moves out and somebody else moves in and wants to do a restaurant?
The person next door?
Yeah.
Well,
see what I mean?
Then you'd have to go back to the decision makers. They would have to weigh, you know, did we set a precedent or not?
This happened to the corner in the 1920s when the building that was the University Cafeteria, you remember that? Mm-hmm. Now it's called Three. That was proposed in 1920, and students and faculty went before City Council and said, no, 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 draw the line. Don't build any more at the corner. Stop it here. And City Council said no. And it moved up the corner, and then it went down Elliewood. And in the 1970s, they wanted to develop Chancellor Street to continue the corner up another block. They finally drew the line and said, nope, it stops right here.
Well, it was really interesting. Mayor Norris was on Channel 29, and I saw him say that, you know, there was a big public outcry about this at the Planning Commission level. People were concerned about adding to this commercial use. And Mayor Norris said this applicant shouldn't be penalized for the behavior of others, basically.
What does that mean?
That means don't look. He was encouraging it be looked at in isolation. Should this house be rezoned to be a restaurant? And let's pretend the rest of Belmont, you know, is not really.
So if other restaurants in Belmont have like loud people and loud music and lots of cars,
then those should be addressed on their own.
Right. Don't assume that this is going to be like that.
Yeah, there's a noise ordinance. We should enforce it. We should be good neighbors and work with the community to make things better. And that was one of the positives City Council said in their meeting Monday, was that they hope out of all this concern from the citizens in that area that they will work together with the restaurants and commercial operators that are there to make it a more livable and attractive place.
How many other restaurants are there besides this one that's proposed?
Off the top of my head, I can think of four.
Oh, well, for goodness sakes.
Four others.
Put in another restaurant.
It's a pretty small, little, tight district. I mean, there's not parking.
Where are they going to park?
Well, that's...
They have to park on the street?
One of the proffers is that this restaurant will lease space in an adjoining business. Tire or car company. I can't remember which.
I would vote for it. I'm for giving it a try.
All right. Well, if you are on council,
Belmont
would be in the majority, Coy.
Belmont would have its own little, like, corner district. It's going to make it a more attractive place to live. I can promise you that. Unless you need to park. Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. He's one of the pie guys right here on WINA. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
Y'all have a great night.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.